Welcome to the Media Line. I am Mohammed Al-Qasim. Joining me is Hanan Ashrawi, a member of the Palestine Liberation Organization's Executive Committee, a legislator, activist, and scholar who served as an official spokesperson of the Palestinian delegation to the Middle East peace process, beginning with the Madrid Peace Conference of 1991. Dr. Ashrawi, thank you for joining me.
My pleasure.
Last month, Dr. Ashrawi was one of several Palestinians who were denied visas to enter the U.S. In December 1992, about 9 months before the first Palestinian-Israeli peace accords were signed on the White House lawn, Hanan Ashrawi met President George H.W. Bush in the Oval Office. Now, 26 years later, she can't even enter the country, the subject of a recent Washington Post article. Dr. Ashrawi, have you ever been given a reason for the visa denial?
Not at all. I have never been denied a visa at all historically at any time in my life, anywhere. And this time it was an oral rejection, a verbal rejection without any justification and without even a written notification. So it's a very strange situation. And I believe it is, again, motivated by a sense of pettiness and vindictiveness, and I assume because they don't like my political positions on the American violations and what this administration is doing when it comes to Palestine.
In the Washington Post article, you wrote further that Trump's administration does not have the tolerance or capacity to engage in fact-based dialogue. It combats meaningful discussion because it has no interest in respectful negotiations and sees no value in international engagement. If not negotiations, what is it that the White House is interested in then?
I think the White House is interested this time in diktats. It's interested in threats, pressure, blackmail, punitive measures, sanctions. It is trying every possible negative way of trying to bash the Palestinians into submission rather than engaging the Palestinians in a meaningful and constructive dialogue. It is trying to punish the Palestinians for not accepting this administration's illegal unilateral measures, particularly by recognizing Jerusalem as capital of Israel or by attempting to redefine refugees and defund the UNRWA, by attempting to, again, defund any type of assistance to the Palestinians, including the infrastructure, hospitals, scholarships, and so on. And it is also wants us to accept the fact that this U.S. has dropped the term occupation from its political lexicon and has also refused to condemn settlements. On the contrary, some of them support settlements. And it has refused to talk about the two-state solution or Palestinian freedom and sovereignty. So in many ways, they want us to succumb. They want us to surrender to all these illegal unilateral measures, prejudicial measures by the U.S. And at the same time, they don't want us to explain our position and why we believe these are reckless, irresponsible, and dangerous steps that the U.S. is taking to destroy the chances of peace.
At the beginning of this current administration's relationship with the Palestinian administration, there was some sort of a high hopes, especially from Ramallah, toward President Donald Trump's approach. Then this happens.
I didn't have any expectations at all, because I knew not just the positions of the presidents of the White House, but also people around the president, whether it is Jared Kushner, who supports settlement and the Israeli army, but also people like Jason Greenblatt, David Friedman, and of course his close relationship with Sheldon Adelson and AIPAC and so on. So it was very clear to us that this is not a neutral administration and that their ideological bent, whether with extreme evangelical right-wing like Pence and now Pompeo, or whether with the extreme ideological Zionists like Friedman and Kushner and so on, this doesn't bode well for the chances of peace. And it seems to me that the voices that are aligning themselves with dreamers in Israel, including the settlers, I mean, Friedman sounds like he's a spokesperson for the ideological settlers in Israel who are illegally living on Palestinian land, that these have the upper hand and they decided to take steps that are entirely prejudicial and illegal and that totally disqualify the U.S. as a peacemaker or a peace broker, so to speak. The president was quite willing to be cooperative, to engage in a dialogue and so on. And then out of the blue, in December 2017, they decided to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, which is an illegal act. And it is an act of supreme provocation for the Palestinians, for the Arabs, for the Muslims, for the Christians. Jerusalem is not an exclusive city, and it is a city under occupation, and it cannot be transformed into an exclusively Israeli or Jewish city. When they did that, we said we are not going to carry out any kind of dialogue with this administration because of this step that has destroyed the very foundations of peace, and that we urge them to reconsider and to comply with international law. And the whole community, the whole international community told them to do that. Actually, 14 members of the Security Council told them that. The overwhelming majority of the General Assembly told them about the legality of this position, and they refused to comply. So what kind of dialogue are we having? They closed down our representative office. They closed down the diplomatic representation, the consulate general in Jerusalem.
Why do you believe that the White House has for over 2 years been delaying the peace plan's publication?
Well, the delay is actually very instrumental in ensuring that Israel has bought enough time to continue with its settlement expansion, with its land theft, with creating facts on the ground, and with American support and cover. And at the same time, in a way, it prevents any other initiative from taking place, whether European or Arab or Russian or Chinese or whatever, by saying, we do have a plan and we will announce it in time. The timeline for this plan basically following the Israeli domestic agenda and developments within Israel. And I think it's a very convenient mirage for them to keep saying that they do have a plan and they will announce it in due time. And nobody knows what this plan is, except everybody knows what the U.S. is doing unilaterally on the ground pertaining to Jerusalem and refugees and so on. So there's no sense talking about a political plan when what you're doing is negating the very foundations, the very substance, the core of the plan, because you have tried to preempt it and predetermine the outcome. And number two, now they are moving towards what they call the economic part of the plan, which is basically what Netanyahu calls an economic peace, that is, make Palestinian lives better under occupation, improve the quality of our life, but maintain and entrench the occupation and circumvent all the real issues which are political and legal. Our real concern is not economic well-being. Otherwise, the U.S. would not be depriving us and besieging Gaza and defunding everything Palestinian and putting pressure on everybody not to assist the Palestinians and then to claim to have an economic workshop that would help the Palestinians. If you really want to help the Palestinians, give us control over our land, our resources, our borders, our airspace, our territorial waters, our lives, and we guarantee that we will build a very thriving and successful economy. We don't need handouts under occupation. We don't need assistance so long as Israel is enslaving Palestine, its people, and its land.